This is Audible.
Silverton Audio presents the unabridged recording of Carnival Obsession, A Dark Romance, written by Selena Winters, narrated by Troy Duran and Heather Johns.
Chapter 1. Lars. Fucking Willow Creek looks like a place people come to die. While I finish helping set up the main events tent with the rest of the carnival workers, I can't help but think this is a waste of time. The place looks like a ghost town, all tumbleweeds and shuttered windows. Scanning the area, I search for Cade, but don't spot him. Typical. He's probably off causing trouble somewhere. Duke, where the fuck is Cade? I call out, my voice echoing in the eerie silence of this backwater town. Duke, the eldest worker at the carnival, grinds his teeth, a habit that sets my nerves on edge.
Said he was doing his job and fucked off into town.
Shaking his head, he mutters something under his breath. Duke hates everyone, although Cade grates him the wrong way. Can't say I blame him. Cade's a piece of work. Colt approaches us with a crate of cheap plush animals, grunting as he hoists it up. The toys look like they've seen better days. Fur matted and eyes askew.
Can you believe this shit? We ain't gonna sell nothing in this deadbeat town.
He drops the crate on the counter with a heavy thud, sending up a cloud of dust. I smirk, leaning against a rusty support beam. Never know. Might be some lonely housewives looking for a thrill. The thought of bored soccer moms sneaking out for a taste of carnival excitement almost makes me laugh. Remy snorts.
Yeah, and they'll be running in the opposite direction when they see your ugly face.
He tosses me a folded canvas banner. The faded colors a testament to how long we've been hauling this crap around. I catch it one-handed, the familiar weight settling against my calloused palm. Fuck you. But there's no real heat behind it. We've been working together long enough to trade insults like baseball cards. It's practically a love language at this point. Colt peers into a box of baseballs while I hang the faded banner advertising deep-fried Oreos, which is a heart attack waiting to happen.
Think these are the same ones from last year?
Probably. Boss is too much of a cheap bastard to get new ones. I shake my head, suppressing a sigh. Typical carny cost-cutting. We're held together with duct tape and prayers at this point. Even though Ty is rolling in cash from our side hustle, he must maintain a facade like a struggling carnival. Remy fiddles with the mechanics of the dunk tank, his fingers working with practiced ease.
Long as they knock over them damn milk bottles, who gives a shit?
I chuckle. He's not wrong. These games are rigged six ways from Sunday anyway. It's almost impressive how many ways we've found to separate carnival goers from their cash.
Hey, anyone seen Cade lately?
Colt looks around, finally noticing the absence of our resident creep. Took him long enough. I shrug. Duke said he fucked off into town earlier. But I can't shake the nagging feeling that Cade's up to no good. He's always been off, but lately? I don't know. Something's different.
Lucky bastard,
Remy grumbles, wiping sweat from his brow.
We're here busting our asses and he's sightseeing.
You just wish it was you, I retort with a wicked grin, enjoying how his face scrunches up in annoyance. Remy flips me off, but there's a hint of a smile tugging at his lips. As I finish setting up the ring toss, making sure the bottles are just slightly off kilter, my mind drifts to Cade. He's always been a weird one, but lately, I don't know. Call it intuition, but I've got a bad feeling about him. Like he's a ticking time bomb just waiting to explode. Fuck it, not my problem. I got my shit to worry about. The sun's going down and people will be showing up soon, cash in hand and ready to lose it. Time to put on my game face and become the charming carny they all expect. The scent of funnel cakes wafts through the air as the sun starts to set, painting the sky in hues of orange and purple. I make my way over to the Ferris wheel, giving it a once-over to make sure everything's in working order. The metal creaks ominously as I inspect the bolts and gears. Cade may be good at what he does, but can be lazy. I mean, taking off halfway through the fucking day when we're setting up is a prime example. The last thing we need is some kid falling out and splattering on the pavement. The lawsuit alone would sink us faster than the Titanic.
Oi, Lars!
Colt calls out, jogging over with an urgency that sets me on edge.
Boss wants to see you. Something about the Tilt-A-Whirl acting up again.
I groan, running a hand through my hair. Fucking piece of shit. All right, I'm on it. Just what I need. Another problem to solve before we open.
As I head toward the ride, my mind already running through potential issues, I nearly collide with Ty, our boss. He steadies me with a hand on my shoulder, his grip firm and familiar.
Whoa, there, Lars, where's the fire? He grins.
But I detect the tension in his eyes. Opening night always puts him on edge.
Colt said you needed me to look at the Tilt-A-Whirl. I jerk my thumb toward the ride, dreading the inevitable grease stains and skinned knuckles.
Ty's brow furrows.
Yeah, damn thing's more trouble than it's worth, he sighs, clenching his jaw. See what you can do. But if it conks out one more time, we're scrapping it for parts.
I nod. Got it, boss. No pressure or anything. He claps me on the back, a gesture of confidence I'm not sure I deserve.
Knew I could count on you.
His gaze drifts toward the town, his brows pulling together in a frown.
You seen Kate around?
I shake my head, feeling a twinge of unease.
Not since this morning. Duke said he took off into town.
Ty's jaw clenches, a muscle ticking in his cheek.
He's going to be the death of me.
All right, if you see him, tell him to get his ass back here pronto. We open in an hour, and I need all hands on deck for opening night.
Will do. I give him a mock salute before heading toward the Tilt-A-Whirl, my toolbox a comforting weight in my hand. As I walk away, I wonder what Cade's up to. Probably nothing good, knowing him. But like I said, not my problem. I've got bigger fish to fry. I've got a ride to fix and a long night ahead. Just another day in the glamorous life of a carny. As I approach the Tilt-A-Whirl, its garish lights flickering weakly, I steel myself for the battle ahead. Time to work some magic and keep this rusty death trap running. The show must go on, after all.
Chapter 2. Alice. Hopping onto the Tilt-A-Whirl, I can't help but laugh. The metal seat is cool against my bare legs as Lily waves from outside the fence, her face pale. Poor thing's been looking queasy ever since we split that funnel cake. Are you sure you don't want to ride? I call out to her, flashing a grin. It'll be fun! Lily shakes her head. I'm done with rides for now. You go ahead, though. I shrug and settle into my seat. Her loss. Suddenly, a large figure plops beside me, the seat creaking under his weight. I glance over, my eyes widening. Holy shit. This guy is massive, with broad shoulders stretching his tight black t-shirt and muscular tattooed arms gripping the safety bar. His chiseled jaw is dusted with stubble and his stunning dark eyes meet mine, a smirk on his full lips.
Hey there,
he says, his deep voice echoing over the carnival sounds. I swallow hard. Hi, I squeak, suddenly feeling like a tongue-tied schoolgirl. The operator comes around, checking the lap bars. I grip the metal bar tightly as the Tilt-A-Whirl begins to spin, my stomach churning from the cotton candy and corn dogs Lily and I devoured earlier. The flashing lights and blaring music fade into a dizzying blur as the ride speeds up. The ride spins faster, pressing me against his solid frame. I inhale sharply, catching a whiff of his musky cologne and a hint of grease.
First time on this death trap?
He asks, leaning closer. I shake my head, trying to play it cool despite my sweaty palms and somersaulting stomach. Nah, I love this ride. My friend Lily, though, not so much. Total wimp. He laughs, the vibration rumbling through his chest.
Sounds like you need a riding partner, then.
Holy fuck. Is this Adonis hitting on me? I bite my lip, feeling a rush of excitement and nerves. I'm usually the one who has to make the first move with guys. But this guy oozes confidence and raw sexual energy. The ride jerks to a stop, and he stands in a fluid motion, towering over me.
I'm Lars, by the way.
He offers me his hand. I place my smaller one in his, electricity zinging through me at his touch. Alice, I reply as he helps me up. His eyes rake over me appreciatively, and I'm suddenly very aware of how my sundress clings to my curves.
Well, Alice, what do you say we go on a few more rides together?
Heat creeps up my neck at Lars's suggestion. God, I want nothing more than to spend the rest of the night wrapped around this gorgeous man. But I can't just abandon my best friend like that. I glance over at Lily, who's looking a bit green around the gills as she leans against the fence. I would love to, I say, turning back to Lars with her regretful smile. But I'm here with my friend tonight, and she's not feeling so hot. I can't just leave her, you know? Lars nods.
No worries. I get it. You're a good friend.
He reaches out, tucking a stray lock of hair behind my ears. His fingers linger on my cheek, making heat spread through every vein in my body.
How about a rain check?
He asks.
I'm here for 2 weeks with the carnival. Maybe we could meet another night, just the two of us.
My heart skips a beat at the thought of a date with Lars. I can already imagine his strong hands on my body, his lips trailing kisses down my neck. I shake myself out of my fantasy, hoping it's not obvious that my cheeks are burning. I'd like that, I reply, trying to keep my voice steady. Maybe tomorrow night? Lars grins, his teeth flashing white against his lightly tanned skin.
Tomorrow night it is. Meet me by the Ferris wheel at 8 o'clock.
With a wink, he turns and strides away, disappearing into the crowd. I stare after him, my heart pounding and my mind reeling. Did that really just happen? Did I just make a date with the hottest guy I've ever seen? I'm jolted out of my daze by Lily's hand on my arm. You're not going to puke, are you? She asks, her pretty green eyes wide with curiosity. No, I reply, a slow smile spreading across my face. Definitely not. I link arms with Lily as we meander through the carnival. She's still looking a little queasy, her face pale under the flashing lights. Are you sure you're okay? I ask, giving her arm a squeeze. We can head home if you want. Lily shakes her head, managing a weak smile. No, I'll be fine. Just need to stick to the kiddie rides from now on. I laugh, bumping my hip against hers. Lightweight. We walk silently for a moment, weaving through the throngs of people. Lily's eyes are on me, curiosity burning in her gaze. So, who is that guy you were talking to? She asks. The one with all the tattoos and muscles. Part of me wants to gush about our encounter, to analyze every word with her. But I know Lily. She's always been the cautious voice of reason for my impulsive nature. She'll freak out if I tell her I plan on meeting with Lars tomorrow night. She'll lecture me about the dangers of hooking up with a stranger, especially one who looks like he could snap me in half with his bare hands. And maybe she'd be right. I don't know anything about Lars beyond our brief, charged interaction. He could be a serial killer for all I know, preying on naive girls like me at every stop on the carnival circuit. But God, the mere thought of those hands on my body, those lips against my skin. I can't remember when a guy made me feel this way, all tingly and breathless, with just a look. The men in this town are so predictable, so boring. I've gone through all the single guys like a kid in a candy store, leaving a trail of broken hearts in my wake. I need something new, something exciting. And Lars is definitely that. I shrug nonchalantly, trying to play it cool. Oh, just some guy who works at the carnival. He was just flirting a little. Lily raises an eyebrow, clearly not buying my casual act. Just flirting, huh? He looked like he wanted to devour you whole. I roll my eyes, hoping the dim carnival lights hide my burning cheeks. Oh, please. It was harmless. You know how guys are. Lily purses her lips, but doesn't push the issue. If she keeps prying, I might spill the beans about my planned rendezvous with Lars tomorrow night. Nope. This must stay my little secret. At least for now. I link my arm through Lily's, steering her toward the row of game booths. Come on. Let's see if we can win some of those creepy stuffed clowns. Lily laughs, allowing me to pull her along. You and your creepy obsessions. I swear. It's a miracle you haven't ended up in a true crime documentary yet. The night is still young. I waggle my eyebrows. Plenty of time for me to become a cautionary tale. We spend the next hour or so playing rigged carnival games and people watching. I try my best to focus on the moment, to enjoy this rare night out with my best friend, one who has been with me through thick and thin, and I her. Lily had a tough upbringing moving from foster home until she landed in Willow Creek. This became her first real home, and I became her first friend, apparently. And then when my mom remarried and decided to move away to Cary when I was 18, she was my rock. My mind keeps drifting back to Lars, the way his muscles flexed under his shirt, the heat of his gaze on my skin. I can still feel the ghost of his touch on my cheek, the rumble of his deep voice in my bones. Lily looks at her phone and shakes her head. We've been here way over the agreed 1 hour, she points out. Just one more ride? I plead, pouting. Lily smiles. Fine, fine. But this is the last one, okay? I've got to work the morning shift tomorrow. I hug her tightly. You're the best. I promise this will be the last one. Grabbing Lily's hand, I yank her toward the line for the bumper cars. Both of us giggle, and I love how much fun we're having tonight. It's been too long since we let loose, just the two of us. By the time we get off, I've got whiplash and so does Lily. Okay, now I really do have to go. Lily's expression is stern, and I know she's serious. Just let me run to the bathroom quick, and then we'll head out. I pout. Fine, but hurry up! Lily heads toward the bathrooms, and I wait for her by the entrance. While I wait, I can't help but think that tomorrow night can't come soon enough. I know it's foolish to meet up with a guy I just met. A guy who screams danger from his tattoos to his wicked smirk. But I've always been drawn to the bad boys. The ones who promise excitement and adventure, even if it's just for a night. And something tells me, Lars is the ultimate bad boy. The kind of guy who could ruin me in all the best ways. I shiver in anticipation, counting the hours until I can see him again. Until I can discover just how deep this attraction runs.
Chapter 3. Lars. Leaning back in my chair, I scan the numbers on the spreadsheet before me. Ty's trailer is cramped, the air thick with the scent of his cigarettes and the faint aroma of cotton candy from outside. It's the night of my date with the beauty that captivated me, Alice. She should be meeting me within an hour, and I haven't stopped thinking about her. Willow Creek is going to be big for us, I say, tapping my finger on the projected sales figures. We've got the Blackwood brothers from Ravenwood and Carlos's crew from Bridgewater. Ty nods, taking a long drag from his cigarette. Smoke curls from his nostrils as he exhales.
And they're expecting quality product. Think you can handle the distribution?
Of course I can handle it, I scoff. What have I ever let you down? Nash is perched on the edge of Ty's desk.
Lars has it under control, boss. Nobody will suspect a thing with the carnival in full swing.
I shoot Nash, one of the few guys that's in on the carnival's secret operations, a look. He's right, though. The bright lights, the laughter, the scent of fried food. It's the perfect cover. No one looks twice at a traveling carnival, especially not the cops. Ty leans forward, stubbing out his cigarette in an overflowing ashtray.
Just make sure it stays that way. We can't afford any slip-ups, not with the kind of money we're talking about here.
I nod, my jaw clenching. I know the stakes because I've been in this game long enough to understand the risks. But the thrill of it, the rush of pulling off a big deal right under everyone's noses, that's what keeps me going. We'll get it done, I assure Ty. Just like always. Ty's piercing gaze meets mine for a long moment before he nods, satisfied. I still think we should bring in some extra hands for this run, I say, leaning back in my chair. Cade's been antsy as hell lately. Could use something to keep him occupied. Ty shakes his head.
No way in hell am I letting that psycho anywhere near this operation. There's a reason I invested in the secret compartments in the trailers. I don't need anyone else knowing about the side hustle.
He runs a hand across the back of his neck.
Cade's too damn unhinged. You know that.
Nash whistles from his perch on the desk.
Gotta agree with the boss on this one, Lars. Cade's been acting crazier than usual lately. Remember that time in Flagstaff when he damn near torched the whole Midway?
A grimace at the memory. Cade had gotten it into his head that one of the game operators was skimming from the till. Things escalated quickly, as they often did with Cade. By the time the dust settled, half the carnival was in shambles.
Yeah, but maybe having something to focus on would help keep him in line,
I argue. You know how restless he gets when he's got too much idle time on his hands. Ty fixes me with a hard stare.
I said no, Lars, and that's final. Cade's a liability, plain and simple. I'm not risking our whole operation because you think you can keep that lunatic under control.
I hold my hands up in surrender, knowing better than to push Ty. He's the boss for a reason, and he's rarely wrong when judging character.
All right, we'll handle it without Cade, I concede.
Ty grunts in response, returning to the stack of papers on his desk. Nash catches my eye and gives me a sympathetic shrug like he knows there's no use arguing with Ty once his mind is made up. As I stand to leave, a twinge of unease washes over me. Cade's antics have been escalating lately, and sooner or later, something's going to give. But I'll have to trust that Ty knows what he's doing now. After all, he's kept this operation running smoothly for years. What could possibly go wrong? I leave Ty's trailer, squinting against the neon lights of the carnival. The smell of engine grease fills my nostrils as I weave through the maze of rides, game booths, and punters. As I approach the Ferris wheel, my boots crunch against the gravel, the towering ride casting long shadows across the midway. This is where I'm supposed to meet her. Alice. I check my watch, frowning at the time. She's already 5 minutes late. Punctuality has never been my strong suit, but tardiness in others grates on me. I lean against the railing, scanning the thinning crowd for any sign of her. 10 minutes pass, then 15. A muscle in my jaw twitches with growing irritation. I should have known better than to expect a townie to show up on time, if at all. They look at us carnies like we're some kind of sideshow freaks, only good for a cheap thrill before they go running back to their safe, mundane lives. 20 minutes now. My fingers drum an impatient rhythm against the metal railing as I curse myself for being so damn eager in the first place. What about this girl made me forget how this usually goes? One look at her sweet face and those big green eyes and I was hooked, like a damn kid at a ring toss game. I shake my head in disgust, pushing off from the railing. Screw this. I won't stand around here like an idiot waiting for a girl who obviously has no intention of showing up. Anger propels me forward, my boots kicking up dust as I stalk away from the Ferris wheel and toward the main gate. If she wants to play games, fine by me. Two can play at that. I'll have to track her down myself and get some answers. No one blows me off without facing the consequences. She's going to learn real quick that us carnies don't take too kindly to being made fools of. I stroll down the main street of this town, eyeing the groups of girls meandering toward the carnival. My gaze lingers on a cluster of them, probably around Alice's age, giggling over some dumb joke. Perfect. Throwing on my most charming smile, I saunter over to them.
Hey there, ladies.
They turn toward me, eyes widening as they take in my form, the tats, the tight shirt showing off my toned arms, the cocky grin. I can practically see them getting flustered already. This is going to be too easy.
You ladies know a girl named Alice around here?
I ask, laying on the smooth confidence.
Pretty little thing, long dark hair, green eyes.
One of them, a blonde with too much makeup, nods eagerly.
Oh, yeah, Alice Jensen. She lives over on Cedar Street.
She rattles off an address without hesitation. Idiots. I flash them another smile.
Thanks, darling. You've been a big help.
Leaving them in a tizzy of giggles, I head off down the sidewalk, that familiar thrill of the hunt coursing through me. Cedar Street is pretty close, just a few blocks from Main Street. It doesn't take long to find the place, a ground-floor apartment. Through the front window, I can see the flicker of a TV and the muffled sounds of a movie drifting out. Keeping low, I slink around to the side. I press myself against the wall of the building, peering through the gloom toward the window. There she is, stretched out on the sofa. Her friend from the carnival is curled up in an armchair nearby. They're engrossed in whatever's playing on the screen, oblivious to me lurking just outside. Alice laughs at something, her head thrown back in abandon. God, she's gorgeous like that, uninhibited and free. A lock of her dark hair falls across her face and she brushes it back absently, those delicate fingers tucking it behind her ear. My hands clench into fists as a familiar ache coils low in my gut. She thinks she can just blow me off for a fucking movie with her friend, does she? Well, she's got another thing coming. I watch a while longer, committing every detail of her to memory. The curve of her lips, the slope of her neck.
the rise and fall of her chest with each breath. By the time this is over, she'll know exactly who she's dealing with. No one makes a fool out of Lars Taylor. Alice is going to learn that lesson real quick.
Chapter 4. Alice. The day after I was supposed to meet Lars, I'm feeling a little disappointed that I had to stand him up. But Lily needed me, and he didn't give me his number. A stalker broke into her home and left a note, for fuck's sake. It's insane. Things like this never happen in Willow Creek. I'm so lost in my thoughts on my way to the attorney's office where I work as a secretary that I stumble straight into someone. It's like he came out of nowhere. Lars.
Whoa there, Alice.
His deep voice rumbles close to my ear as strong hands grip my arms, steadying me. The scent of tobacco and leather hits my nose, and it's so distinctly him. Flustered, I step back, looking up at his towering frame. Lars, hi. I'm so sorry about last night. Something came up with my friend Lily, and I just... He raises a hand, cutting me off.
Don't worry about it.
His dark eyes are so intense, they make my heart skip.
I get it. Life happens.
A small smirk tugs at the corner of his mouth.
But you owe me one, princess.
I try not to stare at the rippling muscles covered in ink peeking from beneath his snug black t-shirt as he speaks. Get it together, Alice. Fair enough. Name the time and place. His eyes darken, and his expression becomes almost sadistic. I try to keep my composure as Lars leans in closer, the scent of his cologne overwhelming my senses. His lips graze my ear as he whispers,
Meet me at the Tunnel of Love ride at 10 tonight, and wear something sexy for me.
The low rumble of his voice and proximity make my knees go weak. I pull back, fighting the heat creeping into my cheeks. You're awfully sure of yourself, aren't you? I tease. Lars chuckles, his eyes roaming over me in a way that makes me feel completely exposed.
Just following your lead. You did agree to owe me one.
He takes a step back, giving me some air.
Don't be late, or you won't like what happens.
He turns and saunters off with a wink, leaving me flustered and intrigued. Part of me wants to call the whole thing off. A date at a seedy carnival with a carny can't lead anywhere good. But the other part, the reckless side that Lily constantly warns me about, is thrilled by the mystery and danger radiating off Lars. I make my way to the office in a daze, struggling to focus on anything other than the deep, sexy timbre of Lars's voice. What exactly does this man have planned for tonight? Despite my better judgment, I find myself eager to find out. Morning, Alice! Kelly, the bubbly receptionist, greets. Some guy dropped something off for you earlier. Didn't leave a name, just said to make sure you got it. She hands me a plain white envelope, and I furrow my brow in confusion. Who would be leaving me anonymous mail at work? I mumble a thanks to Kelly and head to my desk, turning the envelope over in my hands. Settling into my chair, I slide my finger under the flap and tear it open. Inside, I find a photograph. With shaking hands, I pull out the photograph. It's a shot of my living room, taken through the window. Lily and I are curled up on the sofa, illuminated by the glow of the television. It must have been taken last night, after I decided to skip out on meeting Lars. A chill runs down my spine. Could this photo be from him? And is that why he was so close to my office building this morning? Was he there, outside my apartment, watching us? The possibility instills a sense of violation. If Lars thinks he can intimidate me, he's got another thing coming. I won't be scared off that easily. I shove the photo into my desk drawer, seeing Derek, my boss, strut into the office. His expensive suit and perfectly coiffed hair can't mask the perpetual scowl on his face. Good morning, Derek, I say, smiling politely. He barely glances in my direction, his eyes glued to his phone.
Alice,
he grunts, not bothering to hide his disinterest.
I need those case files on my desk by noon, and make sure they're organized this time.
I bristle at his condescending tone. Of course, Derek. I'll have them ready for you. He gives a curt nod, still not looking up from his screen.
See that you do. I don't have time for any more of your mistakes.
With that, he breezes past my desk and into his private office, slamming the door behind him. I let out a heavy sigh. My boss is a fucking asshole, and always has been since the day I started working here. Working here is a constant exercise in patience and restraint. His rudeness and lack of appreciation for my efforts make it damn near impossible to stay motivated. But I need this job, so I grit my teeth and continue. I turn my attention back to the case files, determined to have them perfect and on his desk well before the deadline. My mind drifts back to the photograph hidden in my drawer as I work. The unsettling image of Lars spying on me makes me shiver. I can't let him get to me. I won't be intimidated by his stalker-like behavior. If he thinks he can scare me with some creepy photo, he's sorely mistaken. But even as I try to focus on my work, I can't shake the feeling of unease in the pit of my stomach. What else is Lars capable of? And why is he so fixated on me? I glance at the clock, counting the hours until my shift ends. I'll confront Lars at the Tunnel of Love tonight and demand answers. I won't let him play these twisted games with me.
Chapter 5. Lars. That evening, I'm waiting for Alice at the entrance to the Tunnel of Love rite, my arms folded across my chest as I lean against one of the painted scenes of a couple in a rowboat. A few of my co-workers wander by, casting sideways glances in my direction before quickly averting their eyes. I've made it clear this part of the fairgrounds is off-limits tonight. Alice is a few minutes late, which instantly sparks a flare of anger inside me. Who does she think she is, making me wait for her again? I clench my jaw, struggling to keep my cool because I hate being disrespected. Just as I'm considering leaving, she finally appears, slightly out of breath, with a flustered look on her pretty face. "You're late," I growl, pushing from the wall to face her fully. My gaze roams over her body, taking in her tight black dress. At least she followed that instruction properly. Alice meets my glare head-on, lifting her chin defiantly.
"Sorry, I got held up at work. If you'd given me your number, I could have told you I was running behind."
Her snippy tone only fuels the flames of my irritation. "Don't get fucking smart with me. I won't stand for being stood up and disrespected like that again." Alice scoffs, placing her hands on her hips as her green eyes narrow.
"Excuse me? You're the one who's being a total jerk right now. I had a legitimate reason for being a few minutes late. Still, obviously, that's too difficult for your controlling ass to comprehend. I literally came here to give you this back."
She slams the photo I took of her into my chest, glaring at me.
"What the fuck? Did you think I'd stay here after you pulled this?"
She turns to walk away. I tense up at Alice's defiant words, anger threatening to take over. How dare she talk to me like that? "You're not going anywhere," I snarl, gripping her upper arm tightly and yanking her back to me. Alice tries to pull away, but I'm too strong, easily dragging her toward the entrance of the Tunnel of Love.
"Let go of me,"
she cries.
"You're hurting me, Lars."
I ignore her protests, forcing her into the waiting ride. She stumbles inside, whipping around to face me.
"What the hell is wrong with you?"
Looming over her, I cage her against the boat seat, bracing my hands on either side. "You stood me up on our first date, and now you turn up late for the second. It's clear you need to be taught a fucking lesson in respect." Alice glares up at me defiantly.
"This isn't the way to get to know someone. You're acting like a psychotic asshole."
"Maybe I am," I growl, leaning in so close our noses are almost touching. "But you're going to sit here and be a good fucking girl on this date." With that, I sit beside her in the boat. Alice's eyes widen as the realization sinks in that she's now my prisoner on this ride. I text Remy quickly, telling him to shut down the ride once Alice and I are halfway through the tunnel. With a jolt, the cart starts moving, plunging us into semi-darkness, illuminated only by the cheesy neon hearts and cherubs lining the passage. Alice glowers at me, her arms crossed tightly over her chest.
"This is kidnapping, you know. I could have you arrested for this."
I scoff, settling back against the hard plastic seat. "Go ahead and try. Do you think the cops in this shithole town are going to take your claim seriously?" She opens her mouth to retort, but snaps it shut again, clearly seeing the truth in my words. We sit in tense silence for a minute until the cart shudders to a halt, the overhead lights flickering out completely. I smirk in the darkness, right on cue.
What's happening?
Alice demands, a note of panic creeping into her tone.
Why are we stopping?
Relax, I drawl, reaching out to trail my fingers up her bare thigh. She flinches away from my touch. It's just technical difficulties. We can have a little chat about how disrespectful you've been.
I'm not disrespectful,
she snaps, slapping my hand away.
I showed up tonight, didn't I? Even after your creepy stalker stunt with that photo.
I grip her chin roughly, forcing her to look at me in the dim light. Watch that smart mouth of yours. Alice glares at me, but I feel her tremble slightly under my touch.
Let me off this damn ride.
No, I growl, fingers digging into her soft skin. Not until you understand I'm not the kind of man to mess with. And I'll prove why standing me up, friend in crisis or not, was a big mistake. I watch her squirm in the faint light, realizing that the fear flickering in her eyes is beginning to turn into something else. It's time to turn up the heat. With a growl, I drop to my knees in front of her. Her eyes go wide as I grab the hem of her skirt and yank it up, exposing the lacy black panties beneath. Her hips buck as she tries to stop me, but it's too late. With a sharp rip, I tear her panties, baring her pussy to my hungry gaze.
What the hell?
She starts, but her words turn into a gasp as I lean in and taste her for the first time. She's delicious. Her juices flowing freely as I feast on her swollen clit. Fucking hell, you taste good, I murmur. I pull her hips closer to the edge of the seat, spreading her thighs wide to give myself better access.
Stop! This is...
She sputters, her protests growing weaker as my tongue works magic. I look up at her, my eyes glinting dangerously. Tell me you don't want this. Tell me you don't want my mouth right here. Her lips part, but no words come out. Instead, she lets out a low moan as I swirl my tongue around her sensitive bud. Her hips buck involuntarily, grinding against my face. That's it, I urge, my hands gripping her thighs tightly. Let me hear you. Her resistance is weakening, her body softening against mine.
Fuck you!
She spits. I chuckle. Tell me to stop, I mutter, my mouth never leaving her hot core. Tell me you don't want this.
You're insane.
She breathes, her fingers tangling in my hair as she pulls me closer.
Oh, God.
I groan in response, hooking my arms around her thighs to hold her in place as I suck and lap at her hungrily. Her juices are flowing freely now, coating my chin and dripping down her ass. I love how responsive she is. You like this, don't you? I murmur. You like my mouth right here. Tasting that sweet pussy.
Oh, fuck, yes.
She moans, her head tossing back as she loses herself in the sensations.
Feels so good.
Hearing her surrender fuels my fire, making me crave her even more. I want to consume her, brand her as mine, and erase all doubts from that stubborn mind of hers. My fingers work their way inside her, pumping in and out in time with my tongue. She's so damn tight, her inner muscles clenching around my digits as I thrust deep. Alice's moans fill the tunnel, echoing off the walls and mingling with the cheesy music playing softly in the background. I can feel her getting closer, her hips bucking frantically as she nears the edge. Her taste is driving me wild, making me wish I could rip her clothes off and bury myself inside her. But not yet. I want to draw this out. Make her beg for it. That's it, princess, I encourage, my mouth never leaving her core. Come for me. Let me feel that sweet pussy clench around my fingers. Her breaths come in rapid gasps, her entire body trembling on the edge of the precipice.
Oh, God, I'm going.
And then she's falling, her walls clenching and convulsing around my fingers. I groan as her juice coats my tongue and chin. Alice sobs my name, her fingers digging into my scalp as the waves of her orgasm wash over her.
Only then do I finally pull away, satisfied that I've satisfied her more thoroughly than any man could. I watch her struggling to catch her breath, her chest heaving as she stares at me with dazed eyes.
Lars, I...
You what? I ask, a smirk playing on my lips as I admire my handiwork. You going to apologize for standing me up? She swallows, her cheeks tinged with a rosy hue as her eyes flicker guiltily away from mine.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have stood you up, even though I had a good reason to.
You're damn right you shouldn't have, because I'm the only man on this goddamn earth who can make you feel the way I just made you feel, aren't I? I stand and sit beside her on the seat. I study Alice closely, watching the rise and fall of her chest as she struggles to catch her breath. Her cheeks are flushed, her lips parted, hair tousled from my rough handling. She looks thoroughly debauched, and the sight sends a possessive thrill through me. Well, I prompt, arching an eyebrow. Are you going to answer me? She blinks up at me, momentarily confused. I lean forward, cupping her jaw in my calloused hand. I asked if I'm the only man who can make you feel that way. Understanding flickers in her green eyes, quickly followed by a flash of defiance. She opens her mouth, no doubt to offer some sassy retort, but I squeeze her chin warningly. Don't try to bullshit me. We both know the truth. My gaze bores into hers. Say it. Alice holds my stare for a long moment before finally exhaling a shaky breath.
Yes.
She murmurs.
You're the only one.
Satisfaction courses through me at her admission. That's what I thought. Releasing her chin, I settle back against the seat, spreading my arms lazily across the back. Now that we've gotten that little misunderstanding out of the way, why don't we try to enjoy the rest of our date? She blinks at me in surprise.
You still want to continue our date? After that?
I chuckle darkly. What? You thought making you come like a freight train against my face was the grand finale? Sweetheart, I'm just getting started. A visible shiver runs through her at my words. I can see the conflict behind her eyes, the desire to stay, battling against the instinct to flee. Reaching out, I trail my knuckles lightly down her flushed cheek. Come on, Alice, I cajole. Let's put that little tantrum of yours behind us and get to know each other better. I promise I'll be a perfect gentleman. The barest hint of a smile ghosts across her lips.
Is that even possible for you?
You'll just have to wait and see, won't you? I tap the tip of her nose playfully. What do you say? Give me a chance to redeem myself. She hesitates a moment longer before giving me a slow nod.
Okay, I'm listening.
Grinning, I signal to Remy to get the ride going again. As the cart starts moving again, I focus on Alice, ready to peel back her layers and get to the real woman beneath all that fire and bravado.
Chapter 6. Alice. Lars leads me through the carnival, his hand possessively gripping my waist. The bright lights and laughter of the crowd blur around me because my focus is solely on the enigmatic man beside me. We approach the towering Ferris wheel, its neon lights casting a kaleidoscope of color across Lars's chiseled features. He pulls me closer, his breath hot against my ear.
Let's take a ride. I want to see the view from the top with you.
My heart races as we step into the swaying cage. Lars's arm snakes around my shoulders, pulling me against his muscular frame. The wheel turns, lifting us higher and higher into the night sky. As we reach the apex, Lars's hand trails down my back, his fingers teasing the hem of my skirt. I gasp at the unexpected thrill of his touch. He leans in, his lips brushing softly against my neck.
You're mine tonight, Alice. All mine.
His words send a shiver down my spine. There's no denying his magnetic pull on me, the way my body responds to his every caress. Yet, beneath his charming exterior, I sense a darker edge that I'm unsure what to make of. As the wheel descends, Lars's grip on me intensifies. He buries his face in my hair, inhaling deeply.
You smell so fucking good. I can't wait to taste every inch of you.
I swallow hard, my heart pounding. A sane person would stop this before they got in too deep. Yet the raw, primal desire Lars ignites in me is overwhelming, unlike anything I've felt before. The wheel comes to a halt, and Lars helps me out, his hand resting on the small of my back. The touch is light, but it sends electric currents through me. Abruptly, he pulls me close, his fingers gripping my hips with a possessive strength.
Let's go somewhere more private. I want to make you scream my name all night long.
God damn it. I want that too, but I'm wary of his intentions. This man is gorgeous, but he's also a walking, talking red flag. His behavior has been controlling and volatile. Reluctantly, I firmly place my hand on Lars's chest and push him away, creating distance between us. His dark eyes are intense, making my knees tremble. But I stand my ground. Lars, I've had a great time tonight, but it's late, and I need to get home. My voice remains steady, but my body hums from his touch. He steps closer, his presence both alluring and imposing.
Don't go. The night is still young.
His fingers trace a tantalizing path along my arm, sending a wave of desire through me. I'm torn between his intense pull and the rational voice telling me he's trouble. It's a voice I don't often listen to, but he fucking stalked me at my home and took photos. Despite my body's response, I can't ignore the warning signs. Lars, I mean it. I need to go home, I insist, taking another step back. His jaw tightens, frustration evident, and he might lose it again. Instead, a wolfish grin reappears.
If that's what you want, princess.
The term slides off his tongue with a mix of sweetness and menace.
But you're not getting off that easy. I expect to see you again soon for another date.
I should shut this down now, but I'm not ready to say goodbye to this gorgeous, intriguing man for good. We'll see, I respond with a playful wink, keeping my response non-committal. Lars pulls me closer, his gaze burning into mine with unspoken intent.
Oh, we will. I'm not done with you yet. Not by a long shot.
The intensity of his words accelerates my heartbeat. Summoning all my willpower, I pull away and take a step back. Good night, Lars, I say, leaving before he can argue further. I feel his penetrating gaze on me as I blend into the crowd. A shiver runs down my spine, and I'm left questioning whether it's from the lingering desire or the unease about the path I might be heading down with this captivating yet dangerous man.
Chapter 7. Lars. The next day, I'm heading to the attorney's office. If Alice thinks she's getting away from me that easily, she has another thing coming. My boots clack against the polished floor as I stride in, all eyes turning toward me. Alice's head whips around, her face draining of color when she sees me standing there. Before she can react, I call out her name loudly. Alice! The tension in the room is palpable, and everyone is staring at me. There you are. I flash her a grin, relishing how she squirms in her seat. Her discomfort only fuels my determination, and I take another step forward. An older man with a stern expression marches over, his brow furrowed and lips pressed into a thin line.
What's the meaning of this? He demands, glaring at me. Who are you and what are you doing here, barging in and disrupting my office?
His voice carries a note of authority, but I'm not easily intimidated. Alice shrinks back, shooting me a pleading look, but I ignore it. The boss, I presume, I drawl, sizing him up with a dismissive glance. I'm Lars, a friend of Alice's.
Derek, he's not my friend.
Alice interjects, her voice trembling.
I met him a couple days ago, and he just showed up here uninvited.
Her words tumble out in a rush, desperation coloring every syllable. Uninvited? I cut her off with a dark chuckle that echoes through the suddenly silent office. After the fun we had the other night, I figured you'd be happy to see me again. I step closer, noting how Derek tenses like a coiled spring.
I don't care who you are,
Derek snaps, his face flushing angrily.
You can't just barge in here and make a scene. I'm going to have to ask you to leave right now.
His words are clipped, each one punctuated with barely contained rage. I ignore him, keeping my eyes locked on Alice. Her face is a canvas of emotions, fear, confusion, and something else I can't quite place.
You should leave,
she says. Don't be like that. I've been thinking about you nonstop since our date last night. My voice is low, almost a purr, and I see her shiver in response. Derek moves to block my view of her, puffing out his chest.
You heard me. Get out before I call security.
His threat hangs in the air, but I'm far from impressed. With a low growl, I grab him by the lapels of his suit and yank him close. The fabric crumples in my fists as I pull him off balance. You don't want to do that, I snarl, my face inches from his. Trust me, you've got no idea who you're dealing with. I can smell his cologne and see the beads of sweat forming on his forehead. His eyes widen in fear as I tighten my grip. Out of the corner of my eye, I detect Alice frozen in horror, her hand covering her mouth. Derek opens his mouth, but no words come out, just a choked gasp. I release him, and he stumbles backward. Once he recovers, he straightens his suit with shaking hands, his face red with embarrassment and rage. The other employees watch in stunned silence, no one daring to intervene. Listen closely, I growl, looming over him like a storm cloud. Alice is a goddamn princess, and you better start treating her like one. No more long hours. No more shit assignments. Understand? My words are razor sharp, cutting through the tense atmosphere. I'm just assuming this jackass treats her like shit because I know his type. Derek sputters.
You can't just come here and tell me how to run my office!
His voice cracks slightly, betraying his fear. I lean in, my voice dropping to a menacing whisper that only he can hear. Oh, I can. And I will. Because if I hear you're mistreating her... I let the threat hang in the air, enjoying how he squirms under my gaze. Well, let's just say you won't like the outcome. I turn my attention to Alice, noticing she's watching the exchange with wide, shocked eyes. Her chest rises and falls rapidly, her breath coming in short gasps. Moving closer to her desk, I lean down, my lips brushing her ear. She smells like lavender and fear, a heady combination. As for you, princess, we've got a date tonight. I'll pick you up at 8. No excuses. My breath tickles her skin, and I feel her shiver. Her breath catches in her throat.
Lars, I can't just...
Her voice is barely above a whisper. You can, and you will. I cut her off, my tone brooking no argument. The finality in my voice silences any further protest. Wear something nice. I'm taking you somewhere special. With that, I straighten and leave the office, leaving a red-faced Derek sputtering angrily and a stunned Alice staring after me. I can feel her eyes on my back as I go, burning into me like twin lasers. A smirk tugs at my lips as I push through the door, and the satisfying click of it closing behind me punctuates my exit. Tonight will be interesting, and I can hardly wait to see what unfolds.
Chapter 8. Alice. My hands tremble as I apply the finishing touches to my makeup in front of the mirror. Fear and excitement swirl in my eyes as I stare back at myself. What am I doing? Lars's sudden appearance at my office was a jarring reminder of how dangerous this man is. How completely unhinged he must be. His confrontation with Derek left me mortified. But also a little bit satisfied seeing someone finally stand up to that douchebag. The way he asserted his dominance and the veiled threats laced with a possessive edge should have sent me running in the opposite direction. And yet, here I am, getting dolled up for another date with this Lars. The memory of our ride on the Tunnel of Love is still fresh in my mind. The way he expertly coaxed waves of pleasure from my body with his skilled touch. I squeeze my thighs together, trying to ignore the ache that's already building between my legs. Glancing at the clock on the wall, I see it's 8 o'clock. And then my doorbell buzzes, and my heart leaps into my throat. He's here. As I step out into the cool evening air, I almost die at the sight of Lars waiting for me. He's leaning against a motorcycle with an air of casual confidence. Our eyes lock, and I can practically feel the heat of his gaze scorching my skin.
You look fucking gorgeous.
He purrs, his voice like liquid sin. I swallow hard, my mouth suddenly dry. This man is unhinged, a danger to my sanity and possibly my safety. But as he closes the distance between us, that intoxicating allure washes over me once more. I know I should turn and run, but the promise of pleasure outweighs the fear. At least for now. I eye the helmet Lars hands me. Where are we going? I ask. Lars flashes me a wolfish grin, his dark brown eyes glinting with mischief.
It's a surprise.
Of course it is. I should have expected nothing less from this infuriatingly enigmatic man. Taking a deep breath, I grab the helmet and slide it on, hating that it'll ruin my hair. I should have known Lars would own a motorcycle. Swinging my legs over, I settle into the seat behind Lars. The heat from his body penetrates me as I press against his broad back, my arms snaking around his firm torso. I can feel the ripple of his muscles beneath his leather jacket and resist the urge to reach beneath and trace them with my hands. Lars revs the engine, the powerful rumble vibrating through my core. I tighten my grip, molding myself against the hard planes of his back. His masculine scent, a heady blend of leather, motor oil, and pure, unadulterated male, invades my senses, making my head spin. As we peel out onto the open road, I throw my head back in exhilaration. The world blurs around us, but in this moment, it's just Lars and me. Two souls hurtling toward an unknown destination. I lean in closer. Where are you taking me? I shout, my voice barely audible over the roar of the engine. Lars doesn't respond, but I feel him chuckle. He's enjoying this, the bastard. Keeping me in delicious suspense, dangling the promise of adventure before me like a carrot on a string in front of a fucking rabbit. Well, two can play that game. Emboldened by the rush of adrenaline, I let my hands wander, tracing the contours of his lower abdomen, dangerously close to his cock. A low growl rumbles in his chest, and I smirk in satisfaction.
Careful.
Lars growls loud enough for me to hear.
You were playing with fire.
But I'm too far gone to heed his warning. Instead, I squeeze his dick, reveling in the way his body tenses beneath my touch. He lets out another animalistic growl, the sound sending a shiver of desire down my spine. Suddenly, the motorcycle swerves, and I cling to Lars as he pulls off onto the side of the road. My heart pounds in my chest as he kicks the stand up, the bike tilting precariously beneath us. And then he jumps off, pulls his helmet off, and turns on me, his eyes blazing with a hunger that takes my breath away. His hands are on me in an instant, pulling me off the bike and flush against his hard body. I can feel the heat of his skin, the raw power emanating from every inch of him.
You don't know what you've gotten yourself into,
he rasps, yanking my helmet off in one swift move so that his lips hover just above mine. But I do. I know exactly what I'm doing, and I want it more than I've ever wanted anything. I pull off my helmet and surge forward, capturing his mouth in a searing kiss that sets my blood aflame. His tongue tangles with mine, hot and demanding, as his hands roam my body with a possessive intensity. I moan into his mouth, my fingers tangling in his hair. I can feel his cock throbbing against my core, and I grind against him shamelessly, desperate for more friction. Lars breaks the kiss with a growl, his eyes dark with lust.
Not here,
he says.
I want to take my time with you later. We have a date to enjoy.
I protest as he pushes the helmet into my hands and returns to the bike, waiting for me to join him. Wherever this wild ride takes us, one thing is certain. It will be one hell of a night.
Chapter 9. Lars. Alice's arms are wrapped tightly around me, remaining above my dick for now as I cruise down the road on my bike. She's a fucking minx touching me like that while I'm trying to ride. The thrill of her body pressed against mine sends a jolt through me. Willow Creek was too small town for our date, so I'm taking her to Westbrook, a larger town about a half hour away. Ty wasn't happy when I told him I was taking the night off, but he knew not to push me. I parked the bike outside a swanky steakhouse called the Ruby Grill. Alice's eyes widen as she takes in the elegant decor through the windows.
This place looks fancy.
I lean in closer.
Only the best for you, princess.
She shivers at the pet name, and I smirk, pleased by her reaction. Inside, the dimly lit atmosphere oozes sophistication. The hostess shows us to a cozy booth tucked in the back. As we slide into the plush seats, my leg presses against Alice's under the table. She tenses slightly, but doesn't move away.
So, how's the fancy restaurant so far?
I lean back. She narrows her eyes.
Don't get too cocky. It'll take more than some overpriced steak to impress me.
Chuckling, I reach across and tuck a strand of her dark hair behind her ear.
I'm just getting started.
The waiter arrives with our drinks, a scotch for me and a fruity cocktail for Alice. Alice lets her fingers trail along my forearm.
You clean up pretty nice for a carny.
I raise an eyebrow at her brazen touch.
Careful, princess. I can get a lot dirtier than you might expect.
My voice drops an octave, a hint of roughness slipping out. Alice's cheeks flush, but she doesn't back down.
Is that a promise?
Her plump lips curl into a sexy smirk. Desire flares hot in my gut. This woman's boldness is incredibly arousing. I lean across the table, our faces inches apart.
You've got no idea what you're in for.
Alice doesn't flinch away from my sudden proximity. If anything, her eyes darken with want.
Maybe you're the one who's underestimating me.
Our waiter returns with an awkward cough, menus in hand. Slowly I pull back, giving him a warning look before returning my attention to Alice. The flirting continues as we peruse the menu. Alice's foot grazes my calf under the table, sending sparks through me.